So if you have your Bibles, let's go over to Daniel, the book of Daniel. And I want to talk about think of your future. It's always great to, in my opinion, when you teach, whether it be mathematics or the Bible, blend in with the lessons, things in real life, applications. So I want to talk to you about how the book of Daniel has been speaking to my heart recently. So today's theme is think of your future. And on the 26th of July, in this past year, 2024, I found myself seriously thinking about the future. Maybe I should put it in there, we, because we were thinking about our future. I received letter number one from AMA, which is be like the FCC in the United States. You understand FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. And they granted us permission to expand radio logos from 5 to 7 frequencies. I mean, wow, this is a great thing. And there's a process you have to follow. And they acknowledged this process, that we had filled it out right, and they gave us permission to add on 2 more frequencies. So our future and our thinking, oh, praise the Lord, this is great, was very bright with a lot of excitement. You know, we still have to, you know, call John Spirlatilis over to climb up the tower to put up the antennas, but, you know, we can get it done. I'll get some victim over there. So we were just really thrilled that Radio Logos, the coverage will be expanding into the north. All right? We're talking about the north. And the green area is where it covers with its full power. So you can see we're covering a good chunk of the city, or not, of the country. But what happened next? On the same day, in the same postal delivery, letter number 2 came from the same, you know, people, signed by the same person, from AMA, from the FCC, and it was a fine of $500 for not being enough pluralistic, whatever that's supposed to mean. You know, they fined us, not only us, but many other radio stations, for this problem. And so you can see, you know, one moment, you know, we open one letter, all excited. And the next moment, you know, so what is this? You know, you're kind of upset. $500. But it wasn't just that. It was a threat of future fines. They went on. And also, if we don't straighten up, the removal of our license. So you can imagine, I just received permission to expand, but now also a threat to have the license removed. So you can understand, our future was confused, dark, and full of unknown things, you know, questions that we didn't have the answers to. You ever get in a situation like that, where you just don't know what your future is going to hold? Well, that certainly was a time for us. What should I do? Well, seeing that at the assembly in Albania, we were studying the book of Daniel, I naturally asked the question, what would Daniel do? Does God have a message for us from the book of Daniel? And of course, the answer is yes. You know, the Bible is inspired word of God. So let's open up our Bibles and let's read from the book of Daniel. Just a few verses, you know, out of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. It's not the God of heaven, it's his God. And the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Many lessons in the book of Daniel, not only for me, but also for all of us here. Daniel's such a great book. Like us, Daniel was at that moment where he had to think about his future. You know, he was, as we read here, he was of the royal family and of the nobles. And as a young man, he probably already knew what his future would entail. You know, just following the normal, you know, kingly protocols of the nobility and things like that. So he probably was quite aware of what his future probably would look like. But suddenly, around 600 BC, he was taken captive to Babylon, just like the national hero of Albania, Gjergj Kastorioti Skanderbeg. When he was a young man, he was taken off to the Ottoman Empire, to Turkey. And let's not forget, just like the Ottoman Empire was a superpower of its time, Babylon was the superpower of its time. Great nation. And he was taken off as a young youth. Everything about his future was now at risk. Far greater darkness than what I was experiencing back in July. He realized that his future was totally dependent on the choices that he made today. Isn't that a true statement? Your future isn't just something random that's going to happen to you. It's dependent upon the choices you make today. Suddenly, as we just read, he was faced with a grave dilemma. He was brought in to the inner circle, told to be educated in the language and the literature of the Chaldeans, but also he had to start having a special diet that obviously was against the Mosaic law, something that, you know, he had to think seriously about. Maybe some of his other companions from Judah were thinking, well, what's the big deal? After all, it's only food. We can compromise a little bit. Now, we might shake our head and say, oh, no, you know, you can't. But I'll tell you, people do all the time. They don't think about what this is going to do to their future, and they just are willing to compromise. We don't know how many other people were compromising. But praise the Lord. Daniel gives us a great example to follow. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, this is just food. And we know food isn't going to defile you. We know that from the New Testament. But it's a principle that he's going to have to start deviating from the laws of Moses and start going into the laws of Babylon. And this food, who knows to whom it's been sacrificed, you know, and everything else. So there was a defilement coming that was hovering over him. It might not have been, you know, a physical defilement of food, but certainly a spiritual defilement that comes through compromise. So the principle number one that we have for today, he made a choice. No compromise. Now, you might think that's very simple. It's kind of an obvious one. But I'll tell you, the temptation to compromise is real. John, what's that over there on the right-hand side?
No idea.
Well, you look. And all throughout Eastern Europe, you know, I'm sure even in down in, you know, Western Europe and even in Greece, the temptation is to give a little bribe.
Little is not the right word.
Yeah. Well, that's why the thing is thick there. You know, should I give a bribe to the FCC? I mean, Albania is a small country. So it's not like the people who work at FCC, you know, the AMA, are some unknown, mysterious people. I know them all. And they know me. And maybe, you know, who knows what they were waiting for. But I tell you, in the immediate, a bribe is the easiest method, and it's the Albanian method of solving things, like it is in many other countries. Doing business, getting the deals done, avoiding fines, and the list goes on. But, of course, it's a bad idea if you're a Christian, because it's going to have some serious consequences for your future. Yeah, so there's all sorts of things that we can do now, choices that we can make now that just mess up our future. What happens when we compromise? Well, perhaps Daniel remembered Lot. You remember Lot in the Bible? He's kind of a famous person. One of those couples that we studied. Lot and Lot's wife. We don't know her name, but she were commanded to remember Lot's wife. That's a great, if you're doing a couple study one day, pick that couple out and study them, okay? Lot had a godly heritage like Daniel, like us, and the potential of a bright future like Daniel, like us. You know, we've been given the promise of abundant life, but we, of course, and we have to be careful in how we walk worthily of the Lord. He was given a choice. You remember the situation? You know, there was a little bit of conflict between Lot's people and Abraham's people. And they, you know, sharing the same grazing land. And so Abraham took him over, probably near Hebron. Have you ever been to Israel? Yeah. So you know what I mean. You know, up there, Hebron is up. Today, that... where the Dead Sea, you know, down there, you know, down, you know, near Jericho, it's down. At that time, it was a lush area. And there was great cities down there. Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, Zoar, you know, another. And it, I mean, it was the place to go. It wasn't like today. Hebron today is kind of, you know, up, and it's, you know, arid place. It wasn't so green like down there. The Bible talks about it. It's far different than what we see today. And Lot, you know, as he was looking around, because Abraham said choose. And so what did Lot do? He made a choice, and he decided to go down, you know, not just physically, but spiritually, down. You know, let's just kind of go into the plains down there, near Sodom, near Gomorrah. But one thing, of course, led to another. He didn't go down there to evangelize wicked Sodom. You remember that? He went down there to have a better life. And that's often the way it is. We choose, make our choices, because we're not making the choice based upon what the Lord wants us to do. Maybe he wants us to go to a poor country, a country that's in desperate need of the gospel. But we choose otherwise, you know, in our mind, you know, we think in our mind, well, this is a better choice because it'll be better for my family, more money, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But he was compromising because he was putting his family at great risk of being defiled. If you go to a wicked city, and you're not there to evangelize that city, you're just there to kind of fit in and make money, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to take on all the customs and all the things that they're doing. And little by little, just like it did with Lot, you'll slowly be defiled, be compromising, because you're not really doing what God wants you to do. Genesis 19. This is a little bit later. It says, now the two angels, this is when the angels were coming to Sodom to destroy it. in the evening, and Lot was where? Sitting in the gate of Sodom. He was now a well-respected member of Sodom. He was not out in the plains, far away, you know, but he gradually went further and further. And now he's one of the respected elders there in wicked Sodom. Choices that he made that slowly and slowly compromised him. What happened to his bright future? What's this sign say? You will never influence the world by trying to be like it. And that is such a true statement. In 2 Peter, it tells us a little bit more about what Lot was going through. He delivered righteous Lot. You know, he had a level of righteousness. He kind of knew what was right, what was wrong. Who was oppressed, vexed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. He was defiled. He did not have a clear conscience, but just being in that situation, he knew he shouldn't be here. Far better to be with Abraham and his godly heritage, with, you know, we might say today, Christians who are like-minded. But instead, he put himself in a situation that's not good. Alone. I doubt if they would have, in our language today, a church there in Sodom. And so every day he was vexed, oppressed. If that's not defilement, what is? You know, we should live with a clean conscience before the Lord every day. And if I know that my heart is troubled, that probably means I'm doing something wrong. You ever have that happen to you? Yeah, I think we all have. For that righteous man, twice is telling us, dwelling among them. I mean, you're defiled. Tormented his righteous soul, defilement, from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. This is spiritual defilement. Compromise, you know, he did every day, and now what's happened? He defiled himself. Well, I'll tell you, Daniel didn't have that as his principle. He purposed in his heart from the very beginning he wasn't going to do anything to defile himself. And we're not talking, you know, just eating other foods. We're talking spiritual defilement. He was not like Daniel, who purposed in his heart. Step by step, he went into the world. Now, Daniel's choice was totally opposite of Lot. Lot did it for money, we might just say. Let's just be honest. He did it to have a better life, but it came back to corrupt him. Daniel didn't do it that way. Lot, you know, you might say he was following this warning that's in 1 Timothy. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. You know, if that's your purpose in life, you want to get rich, you're gonna pay the price. It will defile you in the end. Whereas Daniel had a different spirit about him. You know, he wasn't worried about his future because with that he realized, you know, I mean, here I have a choice. If I do what this guy tells me to do, then maybe I'll have a better position in the Babylonian court before the king. Maybe I won't lose some privileges. If I put God first, you know, I might lose my position at work and jeopardize my financial security. You know, we might think this, and maybe Daniel thought this, but he in his mind says, I don't care. You know, maybe I won't be rich. Maybe I won't be a part of this court near the king. I'm not going to defile myself. His choice was very free of money. In the end, what happened to Lot's future? Well, we kind of know the story, don't we? What happened to his daughters? They became the mothers of Moab and Ammon, enemies of Israel. His sons-in-law thought he was telling a big joke. And then the famous verse in the New Testament, remember Lot's wife. And it lets us fill in the blanks. So basically, we might say she left Sodom, not on her own, free will, she was drug out. But Sodom never left her heart. And she looked back and, of course, became the pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. His wife became totally defiled by wicked Sodom. You know, today, a lot of people do compromises. They don't think of their future. And little by little, they'll just ruin their future. Compromise with pornography. Flirting with adultery. We were at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference Convention in Dallas, Texas, when we first got here about 2 weeks ago. Because we're in the radio work, we wanted to go there for the first time and see what was going on. Perhaps the best moment of the convention was at the end. The night where everything came to a conclusion. And there was a pastor, I think his name was Jeffries, from the First Baptist Church of Dallas. He got up and gave a message. And I leaned over to Nancy after he got going. I said, "Nancy, this is really good preaching. You know, when some guy preaches, you know it's good." And he was talking about this very thing. He says, "You know, we have a group of people, there's probably 500 people there. And a lot of ministries are ruined because," and then he mentioned the first two points, "compromise with pornography and flirting with adultery." And then he just said this, "There's probably someone here in this group, 400 or 500 people, that's guilty of flirting with another female at work. You're not happy at home, and you're at work, you know, kind of flirting. You don't mean for anything to happen, but I'll tell you, a lot of men have started down this road and ended their ministry for the Lord." It was total silence in the meeting. 500 people. No one was talking. You could hear, as the old expression goes, a pin drop. And you know what that meant. People were listening, and there was somebody or some people there that were very guilty of this very matter, or knew people who had gone down this road. It was a great message. I tell you, it happens a lot today. Choice of a marriage partner. You don't choose a believer to be your marriage partner. Family responsibilities. Who is first in your life, in your family? Laziness. The list can go on and on. And if we compromise with these things, we're not like Daniel, who said, "I'm not going to allow this to happen in my heart." Perhaps Daniel's life verse was this. It's in 1 Samuel. "But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor." Maybe that was his life verse. "In all things, I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm not going to eat this food, drink this wine, because it will be a temptation for defilement for me. I'm going to honor the Lord. The consequences, if I lose my position, if I'm kicked out of this or something worse, that's in his hands. I'm going to honor him." And so he did. You know, no bribes, you know, can be given, because you don't honor him. You just honor him, do the right thing, and then you leave that part in the hands of the Lord. You imagine if I would give a bribe, which I never have. It would ruin my reputation, because your sin will find you out. Isn't that what the Bible says? Sooner or later, it all comes out. The reputation of Radio Logos will be ruined. My future, my family, all ruined, because you compromised with something. But most of all, it would be a dishonor to the Lord. So principle number one, purpose in your heart that you will not compromise. So giving a bribe, you know, back to FCC, no way. But I had to learn something else from Daniel. He had the courage to reason with his supervisors. Now, you might think that's a simple thing, but he had the courage to, in a good way, talk back. Verse 8, he says he wouldn't defile himself, but the end of verse 8 says, "Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself," and gave him a suggestion. You know, "Just give us vegetables and look at us for 10 days and see our condition." Kind of, you know, proposed a test. He reasoned with his supervisors and gave the supervisor an alternative to what he was telling. You know, sometimes supervisors are not the smartest people in the world. You might have a boss that, you know, he's your boss, but my goodness, he just needs a little help. So, but you have to admire the courage of Daniel here. And it was really a good strategy. It was of the Lord. For example, maybe you have a job and your boss tells you, of course, you know, if you're here today, you know, you've solved this problem. But there's a lot of Christians. Well, my boss told me I have to work on Sunday. Well, he might have said that, but why don't you reason with your boss that you need a day off to honor the Lord, to refresh yourself, and during the other 5 or 6 days of the week, you're going to be the greatest employee for him. Reason with your boss, even on simple things, and it might surprise you. Boss might say, okay, you know, let's do it that way. But if we don't try, then you don't know what's going to happen. Well, in my case, the Lord gave me some, you know, I was upset when I get fined $500. I don't like that. But I just thought, Lord, what else you want me to do? Okay, don't get bribes. But then this came up, reason with your boss. Reason with the FCC. Now, in the States, you might say, well, this is impossible. I can't do that. Well, have you tried? Have you tried reasoning with your superior who might be really far up? So I wrote some letters back to the FCC. Hopefully they were polite letters, you know, trying to reason with them. You know, for example, I said, well, exactly what was the problem? When did it happen? What did you hear? I'd like some feedback so as to avoid future fines. Pluralism, you mentioned pluralism. Well, it's a very subjective item. You know, it's kind of your opinion about what this is, but what is your real definition? How do you objectively measure pluralism? You know, I'm a mathematician, so it comes out here. Yeah. Cause you can say, you know, you're not, they said enough pluralistic. Well, what's enough mean? You gotta have a way to measure this. Just not, you know, I had a rash today and I came up with this, you know. No, you have to measure it. So I'm reasoning with them on this. And then God gave me, this is from the Lord. He gave me two ideas to write up kind of in a scientific paper and present to them so that they would have a basis from which they can evaluate whether some radio station is guilty or not. Now, I'm not going to labor on this very much, but the first one, this was the title, and don't start laughing at me. Using entropy to measure religious pluralism. Now, you don't know what entropy is. Anybody know what entropy is? It's not the second law of thermodynamics. That's probably what you're thinking. Entropy is also a measure in information theory about information that's in, you know, some kind of media. And he gave me these ideas. And I mean, this is pretty cool stuff. And it got published in this journal. And it's a very well-respected journal. And I was a little surprised, you know, but basically, I'll just get down to the key point. It brought the discussion from the abstract, the subjective opinion, into the measurable science plus data and clearly showed that Radio Logos was not guilty of this. I mean, it was like the noonday sun. You know, we are not guilty. And so I gave that to him. I said, you know, you've already fined me. I paid the fine. But I'm just asking you to think about this again before you do it the second time. And then the second scientific paper, again, you know, it's a strange thing. But I'll just get down to the last point. It clearly revealed, again, these things got published, revealed which radio stations in Albania were actually guilty of this and which were not. And it showed that Radio Logos was not on this list. So I gave two ways, reasoning with the FCC, that next time, think about this a little deeper. We're not guilty, but I can tell you which radio stations are guilty. And there were two radio stations in Albania that were guilty, both Muslim stations, and they were over the top. with their programming against Christians, you know, against the Orthodox people, you know, insulting them and things like that, and a lot of other stuff they were doing. I said, now, those merit a fine. So I was actually doing their job for them. What was the outcome? Well, again, with Daniel, God granted favor to Daniel, compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And then eventually Daniel was lifted up to a high position. And I'm sure reasoning with the FCC, they're not about to write me back saying, oh yeah, we've made a big mistake. But they're thinking very seriously about future fines, believe me. Because they know who we are and what we're standing for. And these scientific papers, you know, have a lot of weight. But, you know, the point is, if you have talents, just use those for the Lord. You know, he can honor these things. The third point, Daniel would not allow fear to ruin his future. Let's go over to chapter 6. It's a little bit later in Daniel's life. His enemies were jealous because he had such a good reputation. He was well respected and had a high position, and a lot of people who are not in that position are jealous of you, and they want your position. And so they came up with a plan, and they presented it to the king. You know the story, that only to you can a person pray for the next 30 days. Daniel 6, verse 7, to make a firm decree, cannot be broken, that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And the poor king, you know, he was taken in by all this, you know, this flattery, and he signed it, but it's a law that cannot be broken. And as soon as he signed it, he regretted it. All right, so he signs the thing, and then what happens? Well, verse 10, Daniel figures out this law has been signed. So let's read verse 10 very carefully and figure out what Daniel did, okay? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, fearing that he would lose his position, financial security, and be at risk of death. He agreed to obey the decree, and he didn't pray again for 30 days. Right? Is that in your Bible, brother? But a lot of people do just that very thing. So, if I don't obey this, you know, it's lights out for me. No, no. What did Daniel do? He was not afraid of what might happen in the future. It says that, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Well, I'm sorry, O king, you signed this. You shouldn't have signed it, but it's not going to affect me. I'm going to continue with my windows open and do what I've always done. What a great example. And there's his friends down there. You see him down there? Aha! We caught him! They reported it to the king. And his future was at total risk. He kind of knew what was going to happen because the decree said, you know, the lion's den. So he's cast into the lion's den. What's going to happen now? Well, we know the end of the story, but at that moment, the lion's going to eat me up. You know, his future was totally at risk. But he who honors God, God will honor him. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to allow fear to make my decisions. I'm going to keep doing what I've always done. And so he did. And then, of course, God honored him and spared him his life. And it says in verse 28, and this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He went on. And his enemies were, you know the story, you know. They had to deal with the consequences. Well, I must confess, when all this happened with the FCC, I was a little fearful. You don't think that missionaries are supermen, superwomen. We have emotions like anybody else. So if you can get fearful, even Uncle George can get fearful at times. Fear of radio logos being no more. Because don't forget, they said we're going to fine you in the future as well. And it's a great possibility we will revoke your license. After all the years of investment, the Lord's money into this. I mean, you know, I'm a little fearful at this moment. I remember talking to another radio operator of another Christian radio station in another part of Albania. And literally, he was weeping and crying when I called him up. And of course, when you're in the presence of someone weeping and crying, it kind of shakes you up. And this is what he was saying. They're going to continue to monitor us, fine us, and in 3 months, shut us down if we don't do something to our programming. That was a motivation for me to do the scientific papers, to give the FCC something to think about before they take this step. Maybe, he said, we should tone it down. You know, understand what I mean? Tone it down. That means tone down the religious part of your programming. You know, to make it just a neutral station. Well, I must confess, I mean, I wasn't right. But I took two programs off our station, J. Vernon McGee and another Bible teaching program. I left a lot of others on, but I backed off on those two. I kind of knew it wasn't the right thing to do. But I hadn't read Daniel 6 yet. And a couple Sundays later, another brother, you know, you were up here preaching on Daniel 6. I'm in the back row there with John. And I was just smitten by this. That he just kept on as he always did. You know, didn't shut his windows. Kept his custom as he did before. And so I just thought, well, God, you've spoken to me today. So I got up, you know, at the end of the meeting, went up and changed the playlist back to what's originally been, historically been. And I just left all this in the hands of God. I'm telling you, it was such a moment of freedom and relief in my soul because I was leaving the outcome of our future in his hands, like Daniel. It's just, I'm in. You know, what else can I do? You know, my conscience is clean. I don't sense any defilement. And I just know God's greater than any FCC people. And he can move in hearts. Doesn't matter if I write 10 scientific papers. In the end, it's all in the hands of God. It's such a relief. I could sleep at night. Couldn't you sleep before? No, I had trouble sleeping. Just upset. Tell you, the book of Daniel is a great book. Great book for you, great book for me. But you're also here thinking of your future. Well, let us live like a Daniel. Purpose in our hearts never to compromise. To have courage to reason with our superiors if we need to. And not to be paralyzed by fear. To be a Daniel. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time with Myrtle Beach Bible Chapel. It's been great to be here and pray that these few thoughts from the book of Daniel might encourage their souls as they walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.